my name is Kelsey Shepherdson. If you don't know me, I am one of the pastors here, and I have the privilege of sharing the word with you today. We have been in an awesome series. This is a series that has been on our hearts for a while, really for probably about a year. And it's on hearing God. We've been talking about hearing God and how we can listen for his voice. We believe as a church that God speaks. We believe that he speaks to us as a corporate church, and we also believe that he speaks to us as individuals. And that's an amazing privilege. And we want to learn how to tap into that, how to listen and obey. And that is a transforming thing in our lives. And so that's what we've been talking about in this series. We've been talking about how it's possible that we can hear God because of the relationship that's been made available to us through Jesus Christ. That because of Jesus Christ, because of his sacrifice, because we've been washed clean and now are righteous in the eyes of God, that we can come to God with any need we have, and that he's going to speak back to us, that he's going to give us the things that we need and tell us the things that we need for life. But although this is a privilege, this is something that we can't earn, it's a gift that we're given through being followers of Jesus, it's also a discipline. So hearing God isn't just a privilege, although it is, but it's also a discipline that has to be cultivated, just like any other discipline in life. We have to learn how to do it well. We have to learn how to hear from God. So I want to tell you a story about when I was a little girl, just starting to learn how to hear the voice of God. I was raised in a family that taught me that we could hear from God, that we could hear his voice. I was raised in churches that taught me the same. And I took that literally, and I started to believe that if I prayed, that God would speak back to me. But there's a process to learning how we learn the voice of God. And I remember getting to the age of being in middle school and starting to like boys. And something that was very important to me was, who was I going to marry someday when I was an adult? And so whenever I would like a boy, I would, you know, have some kind of prayer that went like, dear God, please let me marry so-and-so. And if you want me to, then would you please just give me a sign? And I would wait, you know, for some kind of sign. And I usually, you know, posted to the Lord like a multiple choice question, like, you know, if my mom calls me out for dinner in the next 5 minutes, then that you are saying yes, that is your will, Lord, and I will take you seriously and plan accordingly. So obviously, you know, I had some immature ideas about how God spoke, and I wonder if maybe you have ever been there in your life. I think sometimes we even carry some of that sentiment into adulthood. Because we are people who we live in this very fast food culture. We live in a culture of instant gratification. And we're wanting so much to have instant answers and instant direction and easy, straightforward plans to guide us through life. But I've found since I was 13 that's usually not how God speaks. That actually, God is much more concerned with who we are becoming as individuals than just downloading us with information about our lives. That doesn't mean he never will give us specific answers. I think he does. But more often than not, God is speaking to us to help our character, to build our faith, and to draw us closer to him. And so what we're going to talk about this morning is how he does that. How does he speak? How does God speak to us in the midst of our daily lives? And I want to approach that from kind of looking at it from a negative perspective, which is, why doesn't God speak to me? You know, because I think sometimes we think, that's not speaking to me. I don't know what these crazy people are talking about. I don't hear God. And so I want to approach this topic of how does God speak by looking at three things, what I'm going to call three barriers to God speaking in our lives. So three reasons why we might not be hearing God or feeling like God is speaking to us. And those three barriers are disconnection, distraction, and doubt. So I made them really easy to remember. They're all these. So three barriers to hearing God are disconnection, distraction, and doubt. We're going to talk about the first one. It's disconnection. So So sometimes we don't hear the voice of God in our lives because we're disconnected from Him. It's not that we don't know Him. It's not that we don't love Him. But sometimes we aren't really prioritizing our relationship with Him. Relationships take time. They take practices like talking and listening and spending time together. If you're anything like me, my guess is you talk at God more than you listen to God. Pastor Tyler, he shared with us a few weeks ago from John 27, and I want to return to that verse again because I think it's really relevant for us today. The verse is this. It says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." What Pastor Tyler shared was that this is our identity as children of God, that because we're followers of Jesus, we have been made, we've been created to know the voice of God and to follow Him. So that's our identity. But the thing about listening, the thing about hearing, is that it's a choice. It's something that we have to actively do. We can passively listen, or we can actively listen. So maybe God's speaking, but maybe we're not really hearing. Maybe we're not really processing what He is saying. Sometimes when I'm deep in thought, I am really a person where I just get into my own thoughts, and I can be completely oblivious to the things that are going on around me. There's been many times in our marriage, like in our marriage, where he will be sharing with me a story, something about his day, and I'm nodding along and humming and hawing and, you know, commenting little things here and there. And then all of a sudden there's a pause in the conversation, and we both realize that I wasn't really listening because I have no idea how to respond to what he just said. I have no idea how to respond to the opening of the conversation. I wonder if any of you are like me in that, but maybe you don't always listen with your whole brain or your whole heart. That's typical. I think we all do that from time to time. We're hearing, but we're not really listening. And so I think sometimes our relationship with God can be like that, that we invite Him into our day, we invite Him into our lives, we pray, we read the Bible, but we haven't really tapped in with our full listening. We haven't really tapped in with our full heart wanting to connect with Him. And so I would challenge us this morning that if you feel like you're not really hearing from God, I would encourage you to think about how you can make connection with God your top priority. How can connecting with God be number one in your life? I think some of the ways we can know God is, are we going to the Word? Are we going to the Bible as our go-to input? Is that the number one input in your life? Is that the thing that you turn to? Do you turn to the news every day, or do you turn to the Bible? What is your number one input? Another thing is our prayer life. If our prayer life is vibrant, it should be following us throughout our day. The Bible says to pray without ceasing, that we should be people who are constantly bringing our prayers and requests to God. And that in the moments when we're not, the moments when we're not bringing our requests to Him, that we're listening. There's an attitude of our heart that is expectant and waiting for Him to speak back. To answer us. I think also there's an element of this that's about humility, that we need to put ourselves out there like sheep. We have to remember that we're sheep. I mean, this is, Jesus has compared us here to the most helpless, one of the most helpless creatures on the face of the earth. Sheep cannot survive without a shepherd. Sheep cannot do anything. They're not smart. They don't know anything. And Jesus has compared us to sheep. He said, "You are sheep, but I am here for you, and you hear my voice." And I think what that implies is that there's going to be a certain level of humility that we need to demonstrate on a daily basis, a sense of dependence on God that we come into each day with, a neediness. There's a neediness there that's required for us to be able to hear His voice. And so I would argue this morning that we need to prioritize our connection with God if we want to hear from Him. Let's do that. The second barrier to us hearing the voice of God that I want to talk about this morning is distraction. distraction. This is a big one. This is a big American church problem, American culture problem. And I want to share with you from Luke chapter 10. We're going to go to verses 38 through 42. And this is a story about Jesus and two sisters named Mary and Martha. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So I have to admit, I've always identified more with Martha in this story. I am a doer. I'm a planner. I am a person who's focused on success and getting stuff done. And maybe you are too. I think a lot of us are. But what Jesus is sharing here is that distractions, the things that busy us in our lives, the things that take our focus, that we have to be so careful that we don't miss the whole point, that we don't miss the whole point of life, which is connecting to Jesus, of being with Jesus. We are so distracted in our culture. We have everything at our fingertips, on our devices, on our phones, to keep us distracted, to keep our minds off what is really important in life, which is connecting with God and with others. And yet, we have everything at our fingertips there that would steal from us, that would steal that chance to connect with God, that would steal that chance to connect with others. Something that I found really helpful in my life, with as far as distraction goes, is I probably about a year ago, well, maybe even longer, maybe 2 years ago, I started to have a discipline in my life called the discipline of silence. And the discipline of silence is where you go somewhere where you're not going to be interrupted, so go out of your house with your mother, for one thing, but, you know, somewhere where you can go where no one's going to bother you for a set period of time. And you spend some time pouring out your heart to God, you get everything off your chest, and then you're just quiet. And you choose a specific amount of time. You say, for X amount of minutes, I'm not going to say anything, I'm not going to speak anything, I'm not going to look at anything, I'm not going to do anything. And you just commit to that silence and see what happens. Let the Lord speak. Because the thing is we are so distracted that by spurting 5 minutes will feel like 5 hours. Try it. I mean, it's 5 minutes of doing nothing and saying nothing and not moving is like, I might die. It is seriously the hardest thing in the whole world. But as I started to implement that discipline in my life, it was amazing to me how God was speaking like crazy amounts of stuff to me that I just was, my life was so loud I couldn't hear it. And so I would challenge you, think about where are there areas in your life where you can cut out distraction, where you can silence distraction so that you can get in touch with the most important thing in life, which is connecting with God and connecting with other people. That could be prayer, it could be the discipline of silence, it could be fasting, it could be your Sabbath rest. But these are things that help us to put aside distraction and again, sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary. There are so many things that are vying for our attention. We have to fight. We have to fight to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord and our hearts attuned to his voice. The final barrier to hearing God that I want to talk about this morning is doubt. Doubt can be a barrier to us hearing from God. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8 say this. These are the words of Jesus. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He, the one who seeks, finds. and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, if you come to the Lord and your heart is desiring good things from the Lord, if your heart is desiring righteous things, if you're desiring connection to God, if you're desiring the Holy Spirit, if you're desiring the words that you need to sustain you, to encourage you, to keep you going, if you're desiring direction for your life, how could you ever think that God is not going to deliver on those requests? You are sinful people. You are people who make mistakes all the time. And yet, if your child came to you and asked you for something that they really need, would you not satisfy them? Would you not give them the best thing you possibly could give them? Of course you wouldn't. Of course you would give your child a piece of bread. Of course you would provide for their needs. So how much more is God going to provide for your needs that you have? And so this is how we should approach the topic of hearing from God, is that we should come at it with trust. We should come at it with belief that God is going to speak, that if you ask, he will speak. Because it says in his word that he will. He's promised. He has promised to make good on that when you ask. There's a question that I've been asked multiple times from people who are seeking spiritual answers and wisdom. And it's a question that I've asked multiple pastors in my life. And it's the question, how do I know if what I'm hearing is really bad? How do I know? And I think that's an excellent question. I think it's really a respect, and I respect that question, because I think that the heart behind that question is I want to make sure that I'm not following a voice that's not God. I want to make sure that it's not just my own selfish desire, my selfish motivation. I want to make sure that I don't move forward in my life based on something that's not true, based on something that's not from the Lord. So I think that's an important question. And I think there's sort of two answers to that, but it's all really nuanced. I think one is that, you know, when we know the Bible, when we know Scripture, we're going to start to know what God's voice sounds like, because his voice to us is in his word. And so if we know the Bible, if we know the word of God, then when we feel God speaks something to us personally, we're going to have a sense of if what he's speaking to us personally aligns with what we already know about God's voice through Scripture. So I think that's really important. I also think that we need to look to other godly people in our lives. We need to have people in our lives who we can share. God, I think this is what God's speaking to me. And they're able to pray through that with you, that they're able to have a sense in their own spirit of if that's right, if that's from the Lord. And that's important too, that kind of discernment, that kind of accountability of the Scriptures and our friends who are godly. Those are so important. Discernment is really, really important. But I think there's a point where discernment can turn into doubt. And I've found myself there before, where I've done the discernment process, I've gone through all that stuff, but I'm still just sitting in a place of unbelief or doubt about whether or not God is speaking to me. And maybe you've been there. Maybe you've been in a place where you're just not sure. You're just not sure if God really speaks, or if he really speaks to you, or if that thing you sensed was him. And I would challenge us today. I would challenge us to default to faith. I would challenge us to default to believing that it is God who's speaking to you. And instead of coming at it from a doubt, or a, yeah, that's probably not God, come at it from, it probably is. And pray at it. That doesn't mean you go do something crazy, you know, the second you think something's bad. But it means that you default to faith, that you believe that he is speaking, and then you take the proper time to discern. you take the proper time to compare it to Scripture, to share it with friends, and to find out if it really is Him. But default to faith. Let's default to faith. There's so many things that can cause us to doubt the Lord's voice in our life. And I think it's often just misunderstandings and wrong beliefs about how and why God speaks. And that's why we wanted to have this sermon series, is because I think we need to be coming from a place of knowing that God speaks to everyone. That God doesn't just speak to people who are extra super spiritual Christians or who get things right all the time. He speaks to every single person who calls on His name, who asks Him to speak. And so if you've struggled with feeling like God doesn't speak to me, or I'm not spiritual enough, or I'm not good enough, I just want to release you from that, and I think God would want to release you from that, and allow you to have the freedom to believe that He can and will speak to you when you listen. Now, I think there's one caveat to that, which is important to mention, which is that so often, people who, if you feel stuck with hearing the voice of God, if you feel like He doesn't speak to you, it's also possible that you've kind of cut off the voice of God in your life because of disobedience. Because there's been something where God spoke a word to you, and you turned your back on Him and said, no, I'm not going to go that way. And unfortunately, when we shut out or shut down the voice of God in our life, like in a disobedient, slamming the door kind of way, it really cuts us off to hearing from Him about anything. And so if that speaks to you, if that resonates with you, then I would just say repent. Repent and say, God, I am so sorry I didn't obey. I'm so sorry I dismissed Your voice in my life. I want to hear from You. And He will. He'll be faithful. He'll forgive you that second. And you'll open yourself up to hearing from Him again. But let's do that. Let's be people who default to faith. Let's be people who believe that God is speaking, and that we would clue in, tune in, pay attention to those little urgings, those little nudgings in our heart. God doesn't communicate in the SparkNotes version or the CliffNotes version. He doesn't download information to our brain, like who you're going to marry or everything you should do in order for the next year. That's not usually how God speaks. He can, and I've seen Him do it, but that's not usually how He speaks. I think most of the time God communicates, it's more like poetry than a bulleted list. I think that He's more concerned with your character and with beauty than He is with expedience or industry or getting stuff done. And I think we need to be aware of that when we're expecting Him to speak. That His words are probably going to sound a little bit more like poetry than a marching order. I'm amazed and excited when I think of what God can do with one person who listens to Him. Think of the power of one person who just clues in to what God's saying and does it. This past Monday, we celebrated Martin Luther King Jr. What an amazing person to be able to celebrate. That man, he had a calling from the Lord. He heard God asking him to do scary and very, very brave things. And he listened. He listened, and the world is never going to be the same because that one person listened to God and did what He said. And so, how much more can we do if we, as a whole church of people, decide that we're going to listen and believe that God's speaking, and that then we're going to go and do what God says? See, God's vision for church, it isn't this idea of people coming in and sitting and learning something, giving a little bit of money, and kind of being judgy and casting judgment on people who are different and trying to use what we know and our knowledge and our power and our influence to get what we want in our country and in our lives. What God's vision for the church is, it's a vision of a bunch of people together who are listening to God's voice, who are cluing into what he's saying, and who are obeying what he's saying, and going out into the world and proclaiming that good news that he's sharing. That's what God's vision for the church is. It's all these people who are like woke, to use that word, they're like woke to what he's saying, and they're going out into the world and sharing that with others. They're going out and saying, guess what God told me about your life? Guess what God asked me to say to you? Guess what is happening in my church? God is doing these amazing things. He's speaking these amazing things and bringing people in, bringing people into the beauty of that. So often in my life, I pray for dates. I pray for specific, not like a date you want to date, like a date I want to do something, a specific instruction from the Lord, a very obvious slamming of the door on my doubts and my fears. But God hasn't answered me that way a whole lot, I have to say. He has sometimes, maybe he will do. But more often than not, God's voice has been something gentle, something poetic, something comforting. And it hasn't been something that gave me all the answers. It's been something that gave me strength to keep going. I'm reminded of right before the pandemic, like probably right at the beginning, like it was just starting to hit the news. We didn't know it was how bad it was going to be. It was all really fresh. It was probably in February. I was concerned. You know, it was getting to the point where it seemed concerning, but you know, it was one of those things you like, it really could go either way. Like this might never affect our lives, sort of thing. And I remember being in my car. And I was praying and feeling, you know, a little weary. Honestly, not super weary about, like, worried about the pandemic, just, like, weary about stuff, like, life stuff. And God just, all of a sudden, I just had this word from the Lord. He just said, I am for you. And it just caught me off guard, like, because I wasn't really, I don't know, it just didn't seem like anything I needed right now. He said, I'm 40. And I noticed it because it clearly didn't come from me. It was sort of out of nowhere. And a couple days later, that's when just everything with the pandemic started to just like, like it's like all, you know, that one week where it's all of a sudden, what the heck is happening? You know, everything starts shutting down. Like, it's all getting very serious and affecting our lives all of a sudden. There was a song that came out right around that time, The Blessing. It was Kari Jo, but she had this song that God put on her heart. And that song, we sing it in church sometimes. It's may his favor be on you in a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. And part of it just says, he is for you, he is for you, over and over and over. And it was just this confirmation that God was absolutely God who spoke that to me in the heart that day. It was before I ever heard that song, I'll have you know. It wasn't like it was just in the zeitgeist yet. It wasn't. They hadn't even released that song until maybe 3 days after God spoke that to me in my heart. And that word has been instrumental for the people of God in this season. That has been a word that has carried the church through this suffering time, this dark time. That word of comfort, that he is for us. That he is for us. And can you imagine if Kari Jo had not trusted that she was supposed to write that song? What if she hadn't trusted that that was God who was speaking to her? What a loss that would have been. What a loss. That's the way God speaks. He speaks life. He speaks love. He speaks encouragement and peace and joy and truth. And it's not always exactly what we want to hear, but it's always what we need to hear. And so I want us to go ahead and stand up today. Go and stand with me. I want us to pray together and just ask and invite the Lord to speak. And He is already speaking, and we're talking about that. We believe He is speaking. So maybe The prayer needs to be more, God, clue me in here. Help me to have ears and heart to hear what you're saying. Help me to believe. Help me default to belief that you are speaking. So I would encourage you, just as we're standing here, open your hands before the Lord if you're comfortable. Just as a symbol to say, God, I am open. I want to hear from you. And let's pray together. God, we come before you, and Lord, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. We thank you that you are a God who wants to be intimately involved in our lives, that you want to have an open communication stream with us all day long, 24/7, so that we can be encouraged and blessed, and that we can go out and encourage and bless others with what you've spoken to us. And so, God, we just open ourselves up right now. We say, God, help us to have habits and disciplines in our life that open us up and allow us to hear what you're speaking all the time. Help us to have good habits. Help us to want the right things. Help us to desire and hunger for the things of God. Help us to hunger and desire your voice and be willing to do the work to hear it. Help us to be willing to engage in the disciplines that will allow us to hear your voice. And Lord, we also say that we want to open ourselves up to allow you to speak through us. That as Lauren was speaking about earlier, God, that we don't want to just hold all our hope in for ourselves, but we want the hope that you've put in us to just go out into the world in a powerful way. We want to be a church that we are hearing from you, and we go out and we speak it. But we go out and we proclaim what you have spoken to us in the quiet and secret places with you. So, Lord, we just submit to that. We say, God, we want the fullness of what you have with that. We want the fullness of your voice. We want the fullness of your word in our lives. And, God, we want to commit. We want to commit to making that happen by being disciplined, by choosing you, by throwing aside distraction, by prioritizing connection, and, Lord, by defaulting to belief that you are speaking. Thank you so much, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for the incredible privilege that we have as your children to hear you speak. In Jesus' name, amen.